I had had a night where I didn't sleep at all. It was a completely sleepless night. And I had a yoga class early in the morning at 8 a.m. And this is actually when I was getting off Ambien. And I was like, I'm not taking it, you know. And so it was a totally sleepless night. Went in, took my shower, went and taught my class. And everybody in the class, they know me. Like, this is my community. I've been teaching these people for almost 18 years. They came up to me after class and said, so many of them, and said, oh my God, that was like the best class. And I can tell you're doing better and you're just glowing. Like, I can tell that things have really shifted. You're doing better, right? And I'm like, no, actually, I didn't sleep at all last night. I'm not letting insomnia get me. I'm taking my power back. That's it. I don't care if I sleep or not. It is not taking my life anymore.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another really special Talking Insomnia episode. We have Ali with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I've been looking forward to this. I'll just say for, you know, the people tuning in here that Ali was a member of our Insomnia Immunity program and has actually gone through a certification program, and you're actually coached now in one of our teams. So it's, you know, extra special to talk with you. But let's start from the very beginning. Like, how did you start having trouble sleeping?
Yeah, so I'll kind of preface it and try to go through this story as quickly as possible. But I would say that I've always been, or historically, sort of what I would call a sensitive sleeper. You know, like sound and light were always sort of bothersome to me. I always, sleep was always really important, right? Like, overly so. And I kind of put sleep on this pedestal and this, like, has to be protected at all costs. And that was just how I had a relationship with sleep. And so I often had like little bits of it definitely wasn't insomnia, but sleep disruption. And I would have, even when I traveled and stuff like that, I always traveled with sleep meds. You know, it was never an issue. I never had a conflict with it. And it was never a big problem until I had a stressful life event that was kind of the precipitating factor with a situation with my daughter, some mental health stuff. And it really kind of threw me into a fight or flight, like, yeah, saving my kid and helping her.
Sorry to interrupt, Ali, but just to get a little context, like, roughly how long ago was this?
So this started in April of 2022.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, where it kind of, yeah, started.
All right.
So what happened then after that stressful event, and I kind of got it all settled and things were more stable, but I had been in like a real tense fight or flight kind of energy with that situation. And so I decided I was going to take a little trip and with my girlfriends and just, you know, reset and have a good time. And on this trip, I went to Texas and I took just a couple nights worth of sleep meds, because that's usually all I ever take when I travel, is just that first couple of nights. And I took them the first night, two nights. I slept okay, but not great. And then the third night, I did not sleep at all. And I had an all-nighter. And it was probably the first time in my life that that has ever happened. I really didn't even think that that was possible. And so I was just up the entire night. And the next morning, you know, my friend was like, oh my goodness, you know, you don't look great. What's going on? I didn't sleep a wink. And so, you know, we had all these plans throughout the day. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to try to rest. I'll meet up with you guys later. But, you know, like, I was just pretty devastated. I did manage to get a little bit of a nap. And then, you know, I rallied and we had a great time that evening. And I ended up having a fine day. That night, she actually had brought something that she takes when she's traveling for sleep. And she's like, here, try this. And it was some sort of muscle relaxer. I don't even know, but I would have taken anything at that point. I'm like, sure, whatever. And so I did, and it helped, or whatever. I did sleep that night, whether it was just all that sleep drive or whatever it was, I did sleep. And then I got home, things sort of re-regulated. Everything was fine. And then I had another trip to go to New York City to help my daughter move out of her college dorm and into her apartment. And same thing, I only took two nights for sleep meds because, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. This has never been an issue. Same thing happened. I slept fine the first two nights. Third night, nothing. Total all-nighter, was awake the whole night. And I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding. And I was exhausted because we'd been moving her and all these things. It was really kind of a stressful trip anyway. And then our flight got canceled and we got delayed a night. And that night I slept very, very little. You know, kind of couldn't wait to get home and sort of figure this out. So I got home, started re-regulating a bit, but it just wasn't okay. Like I still just wasn't sleeping very well. And this went on for a bit. And then June of that year, so 2022, I went into my primary care doc and I just said, I'm not sleeping well, you know, I'm not really sure what to do here. So she gave me like a week's worth of Ambien and said, okay, just take this for a week. You'll be fine. Just, it'll reset. All will be fine. So I did that and it did work for me. I did sleep and I was feeling better. And then after the week ran out, you know, I was right back where I started, not sleeping. And so I was just not sure what to do then. And that's when I went down the rabbit hole of all the things that we try. Like, you name it, I tried it. And I'm a yoga teacher and a massage therapist, so I have sort of a holistic background, maybe alternative background when it comes to these things. So that was my first like delve into all of that. So, you know, acupuncture, Qigong, vagal toning, obviously yoga, meditation, you name it, alternatively methods, I tried all of them. Of course, nothing touched that. My sister said, you need to go to a psychiatrist. Here's my guy's number, you know, go see this person. So I went to a psychiatrist. They, of course, immediately put me on an SSRI and what else? Xanax and Ambien. So I'm familiar with Xanax. That was actually the sleep med I've used over the years, very sporadically. So I was familiar with it, but I just didn't use it very often. But she had me taking it like every night. And then, so I was on these prescriptions and I was just really, really scared. I had an aversion to the meds. I was afraid of the meds. I think I had a little bit of, and I've had to work with this a lot, but I think I had a little bit of a, I'm not the kind of person that takes meds kind of a thing. I somehow thought that I was superhuman and I don't need that. I'm better than that almost. That's something I've really had to work with through this whole program. And that's been really enlightening and good, actually. So fast forward, I actually didn't stay on the SSRI at that point, but I stuck with the Ambien. The Xanax I only took maybe for about five or six nights, and then it was just the Ambien, which worked beautifully until it didn't. So fast forward, I started it in June, and now it's around October, October. So in 2022, we're still in 2022. And come October, things are getting rocky again. And so now I'm taking Ambien. It's maybe getting me 4 hours, 5 hours. Then I'm up at like two or three. And then I'm taking a Xanax to try to get a couple extra hours, which I did. But I also knew like this is not a sustainable solution. Like this is, benzos are, we know that there's, you know, problematic stuff with benzos here and there with addiction. And I was kind of worried about that. And so I was just like, this is not sustainable. So it was right around Christmas where things got pretty heavy. And I called my psychiatrist and I said, and then those weren't working. So I was taking, she told me, okay, you need to just take the Xanax like an hour or two before the Ambien. Get the anxiety under control, then take the Ambien for the sleep. So I did that for maybe a week. And then I called her and said, this isn't working. Even with this, I'm only sleeping 3 or 4 hours. I'm worried. I'm scared. I was really terrified. And this is really close to Christmas. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to be going on vacation. So here's what we're going to do. Change the med plan. You're going to take Seroquel and then a low dose volume during the diazepam during the day to kind of wean off the Xanax. And I had tried Seroquel before and it hadn't worked for me. And so I was hesitant to do that, but I was like, okay, whatever, I'll try anything. So that night I took the Seroquel and went to bed, and the volume of a couple hours before that or something, I don't know, went to bed, and I had like a really awful experience with that. It was like somebody was holding me down underwater and only my mouth was and nose were above the water and I could hardly breathe, but I felt pinned down. I was simultaneously having a panic attack. So I willed myself out of bed because my husband was sleeping in the other room. I go in there and I'm like, this isn't working. And I am freaking out. Like I was literally just having a panic attack and thought, you know, what a panic attack feels like is like you're having a heart attack or something. So I said, we got to go to the ER. We went to the ER. They don't know what to do. They're just like giving you more, you know, throwing more stuff at you. So they gave me some shot that was supposed to knock me out. We got in the car and I was having a reaction to that shot, which you might know more of about this than I do. There is a term for it, but it was like I was crawling out of my skin. I was like, what is happening? Like it felt itchy. It was the weirdest thing. And then my throat kept filling up with fluid and I was coughing and I'm like, we got to go back to the emergency room. Something's going wrong. But we didn't, because that was the last thing we wanted to do. We finally got home that night. I slept for 2 hours. I was coughing all this mucus. It was very weird, some sort of allergic reaction or some reaction. And so the next morning I was like, we got to do something. So I went, this was Christmas Eve day. So I went into what we have here is called the Mental Health Crisis Center. I'm sure they're all over the country. And I said, you know, this isn't working. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I haven't slept in weeks more than two or 3 hours a night. Some nights not at all. Like I can't continue like this. Help. They were super compassionate and kind. And I was really worried about being addicted to particularly the Xanax. They said, you know, you're not addicted to this drug. You haven't been taking it in levels or enough time that you would be. We're not worried about that. But they were worried about the fact that I was taking two benzos, right? Because Ambien's really considered a benzo. So Ambien and Xanax. So they said, no more of that. We're going to have you on mitrazepine and the SSRI. They're like, we do want you on this SSRI. And then if you still need an Ambien. So short story long, I got home from the hospital, started these new meds. Things were still touch and go, not great, but I was starting to get a tiny bit more sleep. Had a vacation planned in January with my daughter. I was really in a state of high anxiety and what I would really call freeze. I was really scared, but I went on this trip and it ended up being a good thing for me. Just change of scenery. I had to get out of my head a little bit. When I got back, I found Martin Reed's work. I signed up with him. Well, and before that, I had done a CBTI online course before Martin, and it did not work at all. It was just like heightened the anxiety, really just made everything worse. Then I found Martin Reed. Something about his program wasn't quite resonating with me, even though I think he's great. And it was actually, I heard you on a podcast of his. And I looked you up and I looked at some of the videos. It says start here, you know, the NATO. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the thing, hyperarousal. Why has nobody ever told me this? This is what is happening. And so I graciously, you know, asked Martin, because I'd only been with him for like a week. I'm like, I really feel like I need to go this other direction. You know, he was very kind and said, absolutely. And so I joined the immunity program. And I was in a pretty rough place when I started the program for sure. And I was so grateful, though, to have found people that understood what I was going through, that I wasn't kind of losing my mind, that other people had experienced this. And I was still at that time taking the SSRI and the Ambien and mitrazepine here and there. I did get off the SSRI about 3 months into the program. And I did get off the Ambien as well. I still take mitrazepine on occasion. And I have to say that during those first few months, I actually tried to get off it a little too soon. For me, I just hadn't built the capacity and I did not have, like, I was in overwhelm. My system was in overwhelm. And so it was a little bit too soon for me to try to jump off of the train there with those meds. And I did end up spiraling for a minute. And it was Coach Michelle that said, Allie, you don't need to do that. You know, you can go through this whole program on meds. This isn't the issue. You know, support yourself here. You're like, so I got back on the meds and I was like, okay. And I stabilized my, you know, I did. I got more stabilized. I built capacity to be able to sit with all of the difficulty of the emotions and feelings and all the stuff that comes with insomnia and those sleepless nights. And then I felt more resourced and ready to get off of the SSRI and the Ambien, and I did that, and it was rough for a couple of weeks. Not so much the SSRI, that was really not a thing. It was helpful for about 4 months, and then I was like, okay, I'm at a point where I feel stable enough. I don't need that anymore. But it was tricky to get off the Ambien, but I did. And then I just did the whole program. I was with the program for the whole, I think it was, is it 12 weeks of the videos?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the you know, the curriculum for 12 weeks, but of course you can graduate earlier or later. It's up to everyone.
Oh, I stuck the whole time. Like, and I didn't want to leave. But no, I stuck with, I wanted to hear every bit of the videos. I didn't want to miss any of those. And it was so funny because I was watching the weekly videos and it was like almost like clockwork. Everything was happening that you said that was happening. Like I remember watching the video about the pendulum thing, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how does he know? How does he know? You know, because it was almost just like clockwork that all of this experience kind of unfolded. And, you know, I would have those kind of magical moments, right? Where we have the, I remember the first night that I slept without meds and I was just like, oh, I did it. You know, I somehow managed to sleep without meds, but it was such a confidence builder, just knowing after such a time of feeling like I can't sleep without meds that I could. And that was huge in building my confidence with that. And then, you know, progressively, it just, the whole process is such an organic process that you cannot force. That was really, for me, a big learning point, because I had tried so many things, right? And even the nervous system regulation practices, right? Because I have a lot of education and certifications in that. But it was like I was trying to use these tools, you know, in order to avoid experiencing insomnia, which of course they backfired because I mean, I'm using them against myself, right? It's like I'm fighting me. And so once I kind of understood that all of these things, even the really hard stuff, the anxiety, you know, the sadness, the frustration, all of the feelings that can accompany not sleeping well or insomnia, they're all just different facets and part of me. Right? My brain is trying to protect me. It's not the enemy. And I just sort of wanted to embrace that, all of those parts of me, you know, and almost in a way that you would, you know, your child or your really good friend, like these parts aren't trying to sabotage me. They're really just trying to help me. And even though it feels really uncomfortable, they just really need to be heard. And so that was really a helpful, and we talked about that in some of the immunity and drop-in classes as well. And just bringing in that energy of how you would care for or speak to a child or your loved one, like be gentle with yourself, right? Like all these parts of you are really just trying to help you.
Yeah.
And that was a really helpful learning moment as well.
Wow. Thanks so much for sharing this. And you know, there was one question that just popped up to my mind in this moment, which is like, you know, just talking to you and knowing you a little bit, you know, you come across as a very like gentle and kind person. But you also resonate with like self-kindness teaching. So would you say that you had been somehow hard on yourself during this?
100%. I think that is just, that's something I'm still working on. And I think might always be working on to some extent. That's the thing about all of these teachings that I find so valuable. And maybe that's why I view recovery as an ongoing process, because the concepts that I learned through going through with my journey, they are life teachings. They are life principles. And what I mean by that is that letting go of what we can't control, it's really challenging. Because as human beings, we just want to have a certain degree of certainty about what's happening in our lives. And there's just very little we actually can control, just so very little. And so that whole concept just resonates with me so much in my whole life lessons, right? Like all the life lessons that I'm here to maybe learn, that kind of letting go of what I can't control is a really big one. And I feel like if it hadn't shown up in the way of insomnia, it would have shown up in another way, because right. This is a really important life lesson for me to learn, and probably universally, right? But it did show up this way, and it almost made me pay attention. And it's something that I'm working with all the time still, because I don't think that acceptance, surrender, letting go, and I use those terms interchangeably because I think they really essentially mean the same thing. But it isn't a one and done act. It isn't like, okay, surrender, let go, all's good. It's just not that way. It's a continual practice. It's a continual process of letting go again and again and again, of surrendering. And I feel like that's kind of what speed bumps are. You know, the brain is still a little scared. It's kind of testing the waters there. And our human reaction, our very human reaction is like, oh no, I have to manage this. I have to fix this. And I've sort of given myself a break on that, because I'm like, of course, that's how I'm going to respond. That's human nature. I'm a human being at the end of the day. I'm not superhuman, right? And so that's okay. And then eventually I let my brain go through all of its iterations of how it needs to figure this out, because I've learned that I can't stop that process. It's what my brain has to do in order to land at, okay, there's nothing we can do. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so every speed bump I go through, and it's funny, they're getting shorter because I kind of get to that sooner now, but it's the same process. It's like, ah, and then all these things that my brain has to do, and then it goes, oh, okay, we can't do anything and we have to just let it be. And then I get to that point of acceptance and surrender, and of course everything gets easier. But it's so interesting how it's like, okay, here we go. So that's what I mean by it's kind of ongoing, because I don't think it's just you can accept and surrender one time and that's all. You know, that's all. It's only one time that happens. It's something that happens over and over again.
Yeah, so true. So well said. And you know, I remember when you were, you know, in the certification program, we did this talk on the two principles we consider like foundational, like the principle of effortlessness, which actually is, again, effortlessness is also the same as acceptance or surrender. For sure. Or letting go. Mm-hmm. Or letting be or befriending or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Peace of mind. But then on the other hand, we have this principle of survival, which is like we are a living thing, like a living creature. We're humans. Our brain is always going to be on the lookout for things. It wants to do things, be aware. Yes. You know, yes. Scrap, like try, et cetera. So, and those are sort of rubbing against each other, you know?
They totally are.
And so we have to sort of, you know, I don't like to use have to or must or inverse of that nature, but I think there's an invitation for us. Let's put it that way. There's an invitation for us to keep reminding ourselves whenever that survival instinct pops up that we also cannot control that. You know, trying to control that isn't effortlessness. That is also an attempt to control, right? So we can... It's more or less like let it play out with awareness, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. it becomes just another reminder that whatever we want is effortlessness or comes from effortlessness. So yeah, very well said. But there was another question I had for you, which was this one. you have a background as a yoga teacher. I'm mm-hmm. sure you're very, very well versed in like not only like the asanas or the asanas, I don't know how you pronounce mm-hmm. it, but the mm-hmm. philosophy in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, several times I've heard people say that, you know, there are principles there that are, you know, that are the universal's truths, right? Totally. But I didn't really understand that they applied to insomnia because I thought that was like a medical issue. Does that resonate with you?
100%. And I think it also kind of kept me stuck in, oh, but I should know better. Mm. I should know better than this because I have all this knowledge or all this, you know, education and awareness about, because the yoga philosophy and principles are really super similar to the Buddhist principles. And that non-attachment to the outcome is very much a part of those philosophies. And so I really thought like as a yoga teacher, I understood these kind of principles and teachings and I applied them and I lived them. But it wasn't until the experience with insomnia that I understood it, not just intellectually, but somatically and within my entire being, which is a totally different thing than understanding something intellectually. Right. I understood the concept, sure. But when you actually go to apply that principle to your life or to a situation that is asking for that, you know, it isn't something you can think into. Yeah. You have to feel your way into that. And that requires kind of letting go of trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well said. All right. Now, there was another thing I also was like, okay, I want to ask Ali to expand on this or ask her about this, which was actually also from a class where you and I and a few other people were in, where we were talking about what I call this emotional hangover, which is when, you know, we often hear as coaches, somebody said like, oh, if I take this medication, then the side effects are so incredibly powerful that my whole day is like completely miserable. And, you know, I often think of it that, yes, medications have side effects. That's nothing, no, we don't need to try to deny that. But
right.
Oftentimes it is the self-judgment and the anxiety that comes from the fact that we took them. And we think, I shouldn't have taken this, or have I ruined my progress by taking this? That often leads to much more of what we feel the next day. And I call this the emotional hangover. And when I talked about this in one class, you were kind of nodding, and so I wanted to you to maybe expand on that or share more on that topic.
Oh my goodness, 100%. This is something that I really had to work with within my own self, and I think it can go far beyond just the medication. So many things right can come into this, but for me, that was a very real experience where I was. Every side effect that could possibly be with any medication, you know, I had them all. And the truth of it is when I learned that teaching about the emotional hangover and the difference between emotional fatigue and physical fatigue and how much of that heaviness we carry over is because we've been in the struggle and because we might deem ourselves this person that shouldn't need that, right? Then there's just so much self-judgment and self-criticism and blame. And that's the heaviness, right? That's what's heavy to carry. And of course it shrouds everything in this kind of darkness. And it feels like, you know, it's too much to bear because it is, because we're placing so much on ourselves. And I do think there's something to that, you know, people with that can have a tendency to develop insomnia, maybe a little bit of those achievers, you know, doers, maybe a bit of perfectionism in there. And so we hold ourselves maybe to impossibly high standards. And so this whole process for me has been letting go of that standard and that perfectionism. And, you know, why do I think that, you know, I can't take a med? Whoever said that what's wrong with that? You know, why do I have to be superhuman? Because I'm not, I'm just a human being, you know? And so that just caused me so much unnecessary suffering. And that emotional hangover of I'm not the person that takes meds created all of these really, even though they presented physical, they were definitely created from those false beliefs also.
Yeah. Well, yeah, super well said. Now, you know, as I was listening to your story, one thing that was, you know, that I took note of, or that I made kind of a mental note about, was how you said that from, I guess, a very early age, you had this relationship with sleep, which was a little bit, I don't know what the word we should use is, but not strained, but it was sort of like sleep is something precious. I have to protect it.
Overly important.
Overly important, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how, if you look at things now, how's that relationship evolved after this journey?
Yeah, I'm super glad you asked that question, Daniel, because I think this is a pivotal teaching moment, and it was for me, because I so much of that were my beliefs around it, right? That I needed a certain amount of sleep. Like I'm a person that needs 8 hours, 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Like this was what I would say, right? That's just who I am. And all of the terrible things that would happen if I did not get that, right? And so, again, I'm going to call out Coach Michelle. Coach Michelle, Coach Alina, and you, of course, but I'm calling you all out because you all just were life-changing for me. But it was Coach Michelle that said, yeah, Allie, I think you're going to need to challenge that narrative. And I mean, I kind of got offended. I was like, what do you mean challenge that narrative? You know, I know that this is me, you know, this is, and she's like, yeah, I know that you think that. And I really think that story, that storyline around how much you value sleep is keeping you stuck. And I think it might benefit you if you challenge that narrative. And there's been no more helpful words probably in my life, because that it was really difficult for me to wrap my head around it at first, like, because it was just such an innate held belief, you know, and so I really had to be like, oh, okay, all of these beliefs that are keeping me stuck, they're just a collection of thoughts, right, that are creating a story, and that story is impacting my experience, my lived experience, in a way that is really unhelpful. It's so not serving me. So how can I unravel some of those deeply held beliefs that I've decided that are true, that they're probably not when I get right down to it, right? And so that's really what happened, is I started being like, okay, well, maybe it's not true. And that's how I think it started to shift the most dramatically and profoundly, and kind of like in a way that was lasting, because it was a whole shift of a belief system. And it happened because I was getting very, very little sleep, and I was waking up and doing my day, no matter what that looked like. And it was so empowering. And I actually told this story in class today, but I think it is worth sharing because it was such a pivotal moment in my recovery. I had a night where I didn't sleep at all. It was a completely sleepless night. And I had a yoga class early in the morning at 8 a.m. And this is actually when I was getting off Ambien. And I was like, I'm not taking it, you know? And so it's totally sleepless night. Went and took my shower, went and taught my class, and everybody in the class, they know me, like this is my community. I've been teaching these people for almost 18 years. And so they knew what was going on. And they came up to me after class and said, so many of them, and said, oh my God, that was like the best class. And I can tell you're doing better and you're just glowing. Like, I can tell that things have really shifted. You're doing better, right? And I'm like, no, actually, I didn't sleep at all last night. Not a wink. But what I did is I woke up. Well, I didn't wake up because I was already awake, but I took my shower and I said, I'm not letting insomnia get me. I'm taking my power back. That's it. I don't care if I sleep or not. It is not taking my life anymore. And so I went in and I taught that class and I was like, I felt so empowered. Like I had really just taken my power back from insomnia. And that was such a pivotal moment in showing my brain that that story that I've been telling myself for so long is just not true. So sleep fell off the pedestal that I'd been keeping it on for so long. And it just wasn't a big deal. I mean, I will always prefer to sleep well. We all do. We're human beings. That's just our preference. I don't think anybody would argue differently. But when that, because I don't have control over that, when that isn't the case, it doesn't devastate me anymore. So my emotional attachment to sleep has changed just dramatically. It's just, all right, well, it is what it is. Get on with the day, you know? And that there, so really that was the pivotal change. And that's, I think, those baby steps, taking those baby steps that it feels impossible at the time. I didn't think I could do that. But once I just started looking at all those things that I held to be true and actually said, but is that true? How can I know that's true? Maybe it's not true. Let's just see what happens if I act as if it's not true and I just go about my day. And it was so empowering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had you, like, if that had happened, I don't know, sometime earlier, would you have like canceled the class typically?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. And I did cancel classes. You know, I really shut down my life when I was in the throes of it. And this would have been like December, January timeframe, 22 and early 23. I did shut down my life. I stopped working. I stopped going to the gym. I stopped socializing with my friends. I just stopped my life. So yeah, it was huge.
Wow. Incredible. Okay. And then, you know, finally here, just maybe sharing a few experiences about, yeah, you graduated from the Muni program, and then I don't know exactly how long after, but I believe it was not super long after. It was probably within a couple of months. You decided to join as a, you know, the certification program. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what was that like to kind of join the program, but now in the role of a coach and training?
And shout out to Coach Alina here, because I was nervous about it. And I had a session with Coach Alina during one of my speed bumps. And she said, you know, don't let it stop you from doing what you want to do. You can't avoid triggers. Life is full of triggers. So just go do it. Just go do what you want to do. And I was like, okay. And so I just signed up because I was going to wait till the next session. And I'm like, I'm just going to do it. And I had some speed bumps, you know, for sure I did. But I kind of was like prepared for that in a way, and it was okay. And the other thing was I really loved the people, the coaches. And I thought, these are some of the coolest people, and I want to know these people. I want to work with these people, you being one of them. You know, I want to be in their realm, their world, because I think you're making a difference. And I wanted to be a part of that. And also, I firmly believe that we teach what we most need to learn. And this is an ongoing process for me, like I've said. And so the more I teach these concepts, the more I'm able to live them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, well said. All right. Okay. So two last questions. And if you listen to, some of our Talking Song episodes, you know that I always kind of end with the two, same questions, but we already touched upon a lot of this, but I still want to cover them. And one of them is, if you could travel back in time, you know, let's say it's December of 2022 or something like that, what would you tell yourself?
Well, I wish I would have found you earlier. Of course, everybody says that. That would have saved some heartache. But I think what I would definitely tell myself is, gosh, to go easy on myself, you know, to just not be so hard on myself and to hold myself to a standard that no one can live up to, right? Nor should they try, because it's not a human possibility. So I think it would just be, yeah, go easy on yourself, be kind.
Wow. So well said. And finally, again, we've already sort of touched on this, but what you learned from this journey, have you seen that be helpful in other areas of life? And if so, which?
Yeah, I mean, as I've kind of already alluded to and shared, but this has been probably the most profound spiritual work I've ever done in my life. And I consider myself a spiritual person, you know, as a yoga teacher. And but it has taken all of those ideas, and they have become more than just ideas and concept. They have become, you know, the way I practice living my life. And yeah, it's just been really, it's profound, honestly. It's just like, wow, okay. I didn't realize that there was so much here, right? And I'm actually really grateful that this process has brought me to this place. I feel like I have more empathy. I have more compassion. I'm so much kinder to myself, you know. I have so much less judgments. Just all across the board. Yeah, it's just been a really profound spiritual journey.
Amazing. Well, that's a perfect place to conclude today. I'll just say, super nice to have you as a guest here, Ali. And I look forward to, you know, continue working with you and maybe having you as a guest again. But for now, I'll just say thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Daniel, for all you do. You know, I so appreciate you.
Anytime. All right. Thank you. Thanks,
everyone. Okay.
That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com. You'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.